Welcome to the Pearl and Prodigal podcast. This is episode 6, December 4th, 2022. Well, it's been a while since I've done one of these. In fact, it's been on the second, it was 1 year since I'd released my last one. And there have been a number of factors involved in that. I was finishing up a graduate degree in theology, which I finally finished in the summer. The last couple of semesters took quite a bit of commitment to get through. And in the midst of that, our daughter was getting married in May, and we were doing that here at the house. And we had a lot of construction projects to do on the weekends. And it just ended up being a good time to take a break anyway for some other reasons. Been looking forward to coming back and doing this again. And I'm glad to be getting back into this. So I was reading in Kings, 1 Kings, a little bit earlier, and was looking through it, looking through the Hebrew as I went along. And I found something there. And sometimes, you know, if you're familiar enough with so much of the scripture, occasionally something will strike you as humorous, and not necessarily because it's intended as humor, but because it makes you see yourself in the story, and how ridiculous that we can be as humans at times, how unbelieving, and even when our faith is strong, sometimes we can find ourselves in silly instances of little belief and little faith. And this is one of those episodes in the Bible that deal with Elijah that I see that in, and I thought I'd share that today. So, you know, this time of the year, you might hear the word Bethlehem more often than normal, as people talk about the birth of the Savior. And if we break down the word Bethlehem, it means house of bread. So even some of these English words that we're familiar with, when we have been in perhaps classes where we hear people mention these words, like Simon Bar-Jonah, you know, son of Jonah, Bar, always indicates that it's talking about somebody's son, indicating that somebody's the son of a father, particular person is a father. Bethlehem, Beth is house, and Lehem is bread, and so this is house of bread. And I just want to have that in the background as we begin, but I want to go to 1 Kings and chapter 19. And in this episode, we find that Elijah has fled, and I want to come back and read through this later, but I want to see where we're heading, and then I want to back up a couple of chapters and set the stage for this. So Elijah's running from Jezebel. He's really nervous and scared for his life, and he's fleeing, and an angel is sent by God to sustain Elijah. And it says in verse 6 and there in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, "Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." And as I was reading through this chapter, this section, and I was going through it in the Hebrew, I was expecting, when I got to this word bread, to encounter the word lehem. And that's not the word that I found. And so it kind of struck me as unusual, or maybe not. I didn't know if it was unusual or not. So it wasn't what I expected. I knew that. So I started looking a little bit and wanted to find some other places where this particular word is used. And there was a funny thing. It was only used one. It only shows up 7 times in the entire Old Testament, the particular word that's here that you're looking in your English version and seeing bread. you know, it's not always this word. It's usually not. It's this one shows up seven times. But it only shows up twice in any of the books of history. So from Joshua all the way to through Esther, you know, the Samuels, the Kings, the Chronicles, Nehemiah, all of the books of history, this word for this word that's translated bread in the New Testament, in the English version, sorry, is only used two times, once here and once two chapters back. So I went back two chapters, and as soon as I saw the setup for this use of the word bread, what's going on here in this particular chapter in 19, it just made me laugh because it was almost as if God is, there's humor in it as we look back. So let's go back through to chapter 17. And I want us to look at the first place this shows up. Now, this is a little bit of a lengthy read, but it's the first 16 verses of 1 Kings 17. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word.' The word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread in the morning, bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land." So from the very beginning of all this, God is providing for Elijah, and Elijah is trusting in the Lord to provide for him in this time. Now he's encountering a new issue that has to come with this famine on the land. The brook itself is dried up. So it continues in verse 8. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Please, get me a little water in a jar that I may drink.' As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die.' Then Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go, do as I've said, but make a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make for yourself one and for your son.'" And it's here in this verse 13, this little bread cake that Elijah has requested. This is the only other place this particular word shows up other than the verse that we found in chapter 19 a while ago. "For thus the Lord God of Israel says, 'The bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day of the Lord, the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth.' So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, because the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah." So in all of this famine, here Elijah's first miraculously taken care of by the ravens that would bring him food to eat in the morning and in the evening. When the brook dried up, that was his source of water there, God sent him down to Zarephath to this widow's house, and she had just enough to make a cake. And Elijah requests of her that she have faith enough to give him what she expects to be her last cake. And she does. and she's able to continue to make and produce these cakes. She has the flour and the oil do not give out until the time for the famine has come for it to be over and for them to be safely through this time of crisis. And in all of this, Elijah expects her to have this faith that God is going to provide as he promised he would. In the process, we see that Elijah also shows this kind of faith. From there, you know, we roll into very shortly thereafter the story that may be the most familiar to us in the life of Elijah, and that's Elijah versus the prophets of Baal versus Jezebel's prophets, where they both make an altar. Elijah by himself puts an altar together. He instructs the prophets of Baal, who were great in number, to build an altar, and for them to both call to their God, and whichever God answered by sending down fire and burning up the sacrifice, that would be the God that was real. And of course, we know Baal never answered because Baal is not real. And Elijah prayed after he'd set the altar up, poured water over it, had a trench around it filled with water, and God sent fire down and burnt up everything there, lapped up all the water, burnt up the altar itself, of course, consumed the entire sacrifice. And then the people were quick to say that Yahweh is God, and turned away from Baal there, and they killed all the prophets, Jezebel. That's what brings us to this chapter 19 and the episode that I'm interested in particular in getting to. So this one's much shorter, it's just 6 verses, so let's read through that. 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 1. This is just after Elijah has had a great victory, as far as we might, you know, see victories as humans. And so he says here, "Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So may the gods do to me, and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." So this is about the southernmost point in Judah here, as he reaches this point, and he leaves his servant, and he continues on even further. "But he himself," it says in verse 4, "went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's.' And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, 'Arise, eat.' Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." And I could not help when I saw this word here being used and had gone back and looked and seen where it shows up the only other time in these books of history before, in verse 17, in the context of God's provision in the time of the famine, miraculously at the hand of the widow there, that God is making a point here to Elijah that he's already forgotten. He's shown this faith. He's shown this incredible faith there against the prophets of Baal just before this, and God has come through in a spectacular way for him, and he's been able to participate in that, and now he is shown this fear in his life in a time when he needs courage and he needs to rest on God's promises and rest on who God is. And God provides for him here through this hand of this angel, this bread cake. And I can't believe that Elijah wouldn't have immediately gone back just that short time and to remember the bread cake that was first given to him by the widow, and the bread cakes that continued to be provided there in all their time of need. I think our life, we can see things like this in our life. If we look closely enough, if we're thoughtful enough about times in our life where we go from mountaintops where we feel that everything is going really good, and we feel a part of what God is doing, and we can feel really energized and enthusiastic, and it's not an uncommon thing for in the very next moment from those high peaks that we end up in a trough of a valley of doubt and wonder if there's, you know, our usefulness has been accomplished, and we're just ready to rest and to lay back and to let somebody else, you know, take the initiative. We see this in all sorts of situations when God first brings Israel out of captivity in Egypt. He takes a people who are nothing and he makes them a great nation. But he does that in such a spectacular way, as he brings a people that were enslaved out, and they come out a people who are incredibly enriched because they plundered the Egyptians on their way out. They took all their gold, all their valuables. But God immediately takes them out into the wilderness. And we see it's not very long after that. They're gone from celebrating and singing the praises of what God has done in bringing them through the sea and having Pharaoh's entire army wiped out there. Not to mention all of the plagues and the power that God had shown in revealing his arm in the plagues against the Egyptians in order to bring about the release of Israel to come out of Egypt. It's a very, very short time from that, from singing the praises of God, until we find them engaged in creating a golden calf to worship and just having a very evil and wicked episode there at the bottom of the mountain as they waited on Moses to come down from his meeting there with God. We find that Jesus, in a similar way as far as the situation is concerned, but not in a similar way in the way that he acted. He's the one who shows the example of how all of these different examples that have come before should have turned out if they had done the right thing. But we find it when Jesus is immersed there by John, his cousin there at the Jordan. And as he comes up out of the Jordan, God makes this wonderful confession about who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And people are able to hear God and have this witness of who Jesus is. And it's a wonderful thing. And in the very next instant, we find that Jesus is led out from this mountaintop experience into the wilderness, where he undergoes a long period without food. And then he encounters these temptations through Satan, which he is like, which he overcomes. And something that Israel didn't do. Elijah here is failing, is failing to keep up the his enthusiasm and his just keep his focus right on God and his trust and his faith on in God. So this week, as you go about your business, I hope that you'll look out for things like this in your life and think about maybe some times where you've dealt with this, and just take a time to be thankful for what God has done for you in the past and what he's doing for you right now. And I just pray that you'll have a good week, and I love you, and I hope that you're doing well. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be doing this, and I just pray that God will bless your week. Thank you so much.